Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com or by subscribing in iTunes. This week, we're going to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort in Devil's Lake, and we'll start off the show with Craig Engwall as we talk crossbows and what role they may play in a full-on archery season in Minnesota. That's coming up here in just a second. All right, this week's show, of course, brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. It's also brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. And it's brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided snow goose hunts in the month of March coming up in South Dakota. And also by Prairie Sportsman. Another new episode is coming up this Sunday night at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. And it's also brought to you by the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic coming up March 9th, 10th, and 11th. We'll have more information about the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest right now is the Executive Director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. He's Craig Engwall, and he joins us on the show. Craig, how are things?
Hey, they're great and busy, but great. How are you, Brett?
I'm good. You know, it's one of those it's that time of the year where you drive around in the evenings, and it seems like every field you look at has got, you know, 9 or 10, 12, sometimes 30 deer standing in it.
Yeah, it's nice to see the deer. I happen to live in the deep northern woods, so it's a little different field scene for me. But as I drive around the state, it is sure nice to see the deer, and they're looking healthy up here. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah, and I want to talk about a number of things, from wolves to winter severity to crossbows to CWD and all of that. But how do you think the winter has been for our deer so far?
You know, it's interesting timing as you talk about WSI, because it's been pretty mild, and well, actually, we've had some cold temperatures, but we didn't have deep snow, and that is until about Sunday. I live in northern Itasca County and had about 10 inches on Sunday, little delay, and then 7 more Monday into Tuesday. And as I recall, at WSI, it's the 15-inch depth snow is one of the factors. So, you know, we've been doing well. I think temperatures are looking good coming up here. So, fortunately, we haven't had the brutal combo of deep snow and brutally cold temperatures. We hope it stays that way.
Craig Engwall, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. Kind of staying on that theme a little bit of the winter severity index and the depth of snow, and when it comes to northern Minnesota, you know, we had a question sent to us with Prairie Sportsman from a viewer about deer and wolves and the interactions that they have. And I was a little surprised about the response that we got. And I know I think I sent it to you in the email too, but according to the DNR, our wolves haven't grown necessarily since the estimate of 2003 and 2004. And that number itself right there kind of surprises me, Craig.
You know, and it's there's one element of that too. What is the real number and how accurate is the survey? But I looked at the question. So the question one is the growing wolf population putting a severe risk on deer? And in essence, their answer was no. And I guess I looked at it and I said, well, it depends on how you define severe, because, you know, the wolf population is not going to take down the deer herd, but they can have a significant effect, particularly locally. And again, living in northern Itasca County, right in the heart of wolf country, it depends on, you know, how many packs are in your area, but it can make a profound difference. So we strongly at MDHA have always supported the state managing the wolf population. Numbers are well above the federal recovery guidelines. So I've been out to Washington lobbying on the issue, trying to get Congress to change that. So do wolves make a difference severe in the terms of threatening the overall population? No, but they certainly can have a significant localized effect, and they do affect the population of deer.
During your trips to Washington, or what you're hearing maybe around the Capitol here in Minnesota, where do you think we're at on returning management of wolves to the state of Minnesota?
Well, so on the downside, and again, how this happened is to try to do it in a nutshell. So The Fish and Wildlife Service delisted the wolf, I believe, in 2011. So management returned to Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We had three seasons. And then a court decision in D.C. relisted the wolf. That was challenged by the states. And unfortunately, the Court of Appeals upheld that lower court decision. So the court avenue to get relief is really pretty much done. But there's been action in Congress to try to really, in essence, say, no, we created the Endangered Species Act, and here's how we interpreted it, and we want states to have management. That effort's been going a couple years. There is a bill that's sponsored by Colin Peterson that's gotten through the House Natural Resources Committee. And there's activity going on, but it's hard to know if they'll get it through. I mean, both the House and Senate, and likely the President, all would support that. It's just a question of, can they get it on a different bill, and does it get through? And that we don't know yet.
What?
The practical side of that is, to have a season in the fall of 18, DNR would really need to know that they had legal authority again by June, because they'd have to ramp up a lottery and do all that kind of thing.
Sure, sure. And at one point early in this discussion, after the wolves were relisted, there was talk of creating a bill that would be similar to, I think maybe it was Wyoming has it, where it's written into law that you know.
And that is what the Peterson bill does. That's really it's a mirror of what happened out there. So that's what Peterson's bill, which is H.R. 424, that bill does exactly what happened out in Wyoming and Idaho. And it did pass its committee by 24-15, so there is support. It's just getting it prioritized. You know, they've got a lot of other things going on, and hopefully it'll move through. I know Senator Klobuchar is a co-sponsor in the Senate, so we'll see where it goes. But we're certainly making our voice heard.
Interesting. Cool. And that bill essentially would say that the ruling that we make, or the bill that we make, the law that we make in Minnesota, cannot be challenged by a federal court?
It would say that it would direct the Fish and Wildlife, because it's a federal issue. So it would tell the Fish and Wildlife Service to delist the wolf, and then it would say that delisting cannot be subject to judicial review, so nobody could really sue over it.
Okay.
And then it would return to the states for management with, you know, the Fish and Wildlife Service still oversees it. The state has to have a good management plan, which Minnesota does. But it would bring us back to where we were during the three seasons that we had a wolf hunt.
Talking to Craig Engwall from the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. More with Craig coming up, plus Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and Joe Henry talks Lake of the Woods. It's all on the way.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The Snow Bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
Waterfowl Hunters.
Waterfowl Hunters.
If you haven't experienced the heart-pounding excitement of the spring snow goose season, you haven't seen the most thrilling waterfowl action possible.
Take that plug out of your gun and chase snows with Mid-Migration Outfitters.
Plus, you'll get to see the spring waterfowl migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more. That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Mark your calendar for the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Warner Coliseum, March 9th through the 11th. This year's Classic features top hunting celebrities like Lee and Tiffany Lakoski, Pat Nicole Reeve, and Melissa Bachman, plus free activities for the kids in the Wild Trails Kids Zone. Get your trophy scored for free, see more than 300 antler entries, and check out the latest hunting products, including an expanded lineup of lodges and outfitters. For complete details on the Deer and Turkey Classic, visit mndeerclassic.com.
Craig Engwall, our guest. He's the executive director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association on Sporting Journal Radio. More importantly, I wanted to talk crossbows. And this is something that deer hunters and archery hunters in the state have been watching for the last few years because obviously it's happened in other states near us. But a lot of people don't necessarily want to see some of these changes take place. But of course, the crossbow industry really would love to see it. So the potential to have crossbows available for the entire archery season is becoming a real possibility now, isn't it, Craig?
Well, it depends. I'll just say that it's the people on both sides of the issue are passionate. So the real issue is for those under 60. Under current Minnesota law, if you are over 60, you can use a crossbow during the regular archery season. Or if you have a doctor saying that you have a physical limitation, you can get and have that, you can get a license. But if you're under 60 and don't have any of those, don't have any physical limitations, you cannot use a crossbow during the regular archery season. Of course, you can during, you know, firearm season, etc. So it's, people are very passionate on both sides of it. I'm not going to lay out those arguments here now because they're long, and I'd even have a longer discussion than wolves. But at any rate, in our chapters, our process, we allow chapters to bring forward resolutions, and we did have a chapter bring forward a resolution supporting full use of crossbow. It came up 2 years ago, and our chapters voted that down, but it was close. It was 48% to 52%, and that kind of reflects what I'm hearing and seeing in hunters around the state.
That surprises me. I'm surprised that there's that much support for a crossbow to be used during the bow season.
Yeah, you know, and again, I don't want to, if I get into it, because I, first of all, I'll say I'm not normally shy to express my personal opinions, but in my role representing the organization,
sure,
I carry that forward, so I don't voice that because I go with what the organization says. But, you know, though generally speaking, those who are proponents view it as with hunting numbers down, et cetera, it's a recruitment tool. And there are very many valid arguments for not. I hesitate to get into it just because it's a passionate issue. So, but we'll see because, that's going to continue. I think it will continue regardless. And again, we're just an organization. We'll see what our members vote. Then we'll see whatever happens. Whether we as an organization say we support or don't support, we'll see what legislators do on their own anyway.
Sure. And that's so you guys are going to take a vote on it with your chapters, and then that eventually will be the position that MDHA will take?
You know, here's the deal on that. So, yeah, we will vote on this Saturday. We'll have a vote. But I'll put it this way. So we'll consider, you know, six other resolution proposals too. So some resolution proposals will strongly pass. And so for years we've had a resolution to support scopes on muzzleloaders, and it passed incredibly strongly, you know, 90% plus. So it's very easy for me to go to the Capitol and say, here's our position. You know, if you get a 50.1% to a 49.9% vote, you know, it's hard for me to go and say the will of MDHA is this or that. You know, that's so we will carry forward what our members feel, but it's different compared to a resolution where we have unanimous or near unanimous support.
Sure. Sure. Well, I would like to see, personally, this is what I would like to see, and I'm curious to know if this is being discussed or not, but I cornered Commissioner Landwehr a couple of years ago, and I said, All right, Tom, if you're going to have a crossbow, if you're going to allow crossbows for people under 60, make it like a muzzleloader season. Do a 17-day season sometime during the season, but don't make it the exact same as bow hunters, because to me it just doesn't seem like it's the exact same as going out there with I understand compound bows are pretty advanced technologically nowadays, but it's not the same. And you're right, it's a good recruitment tool. You can maybe attract some more hunters into the archery season that way. But if you give them their own season, then everybody's happy, and the DNR can maybe make a few extra bucks on the extra license. That's my two cents.
And those are all part of it. And, you know, can you shoot with certainly not a longbow, but it's hard to imagine It's hard to imagine a regular conventional bow shooting a deer at 100 yards like you can with a crossbow.
Right.
There's concern, and these are concerns, again, I'm just laying out a couple of the things I hear. There's concern about moving a significant amount of the buck harvest from rifle into the archery season because you'd have an attractive option earlier for people to go out and don't spend, not they wouldn't need to spend the time that people who use compounds or longbows, etc., spend perfecting their art in the time they take hunting. So those things are all out there.
Craig Engwell, our guest. He's the executive director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the potential for crossbows to be used legally during the archery season in Minnesota. So what are some more of the pros for people that do want to see crossbows used throughout the entire archery season? Is it mostly recruitment and retention, or what else are people are saying out there?
What I hear most is recruitment, and then I hear a philosophical position that you're only entitled to one buck a year. Why should we care about how you take it? Those are kind of two strong themes that I hear as I talk to hunters across the state.
Okay, well, and that's a good point, I guess, if you're going to only shoot one. But I don't know. I mean, and eventually maybe that changes down the line if our numbers change a little bit. You know, I don't know. Is it a this is a
deer. You're highlighting how tough it is for folks. So
yeah, you know, we're all armchair quarterbacks too. It's so easy to criticize and complain, and I'm glad I'm not in charge of writing the rules. You know.
Well, you know, and it's interesting too because I hunt with an inline muzzleloader with a scope on it. Well, a lot of people don't think we should be doing that, and it's hard. But one thing I really don't want hunters to get personally fighting against hunters to the point that they can't realize we all need to support hunting in the broad sense because we are the minority and we aren't exactly growing. So let's have our passion, but respect each other as well.
That's an important point to make, and it is one that I've been hearing a lot lately because we definitely don't need infighting among the good ones, you know, the good people out there, the good guys. So, which the outdoorsmen are the good guys if you're playing at home. But
you know, I'll use one example of that, and it'll be quick on this. So a lot of people think MDHA and like quality deer management or Bluffland Whitetails, they're few, they don't get along, and you know, there was kind of that perception, but as we've been involved in the deer planning process, and those groups are involved too, and we talk and go through things, you know, we realize we agree on about 95% of the stuff. Now, the 5% gets people pretty hot under the collar, but it's really made us realize, man, we got to stick together on this stuff.
Right, right. Absolutely. Craig Engwell, our guest here for a few more minutes on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about deer and deer management in the state of Minnesota. And we talk crossbows, we talk wolves and winter severity. The other headline topic about deer in Minnesota that we haven't even touched yet that's maybe more important than any of these other ones is chronic wasting disease. And some people are not necessarily happy about the approach that's been taken down in the Southeast, but it's probably been the necessary approach. How do you think the fight against CWD has been going so far?
Yeah, so there again, and I've got a very short time here. So there are a couple things controversial. One is one aspect of it is how is DNR reacting to the wild herd discoveries? We've been supportive of an aggressive approach. We've backed them. We don't want to end up like Wisconsin. So that's one side of it. The big side, too, is the captive cervid industry and captive cervid farms and the regulation or lack thereof in how they threaten our wild herd. So deer hunters can disagree maybe about how we go after CWD in the wild herd, but I think a lot of deer hunters agree on we got to do more about captive cervid farms.
Yeah, and that actually is probably a bigger issue in the fight against CWD out there, but there's a lot of agencies, there's a lot of red tape to cut through for that, isn't there?
Well, here's the big issue on that. So really they split wild deer are DNR and captive cervids are viewed as livestock. So they're regulated by the Board of Animal Health, and it's treated completely separately. So you get into the issues of escapes and different things and how to handle regulations about fencing, regulations about when a herd on a farm has been identified as having a positive, what you do with that. For instance, now there's no requirement to depopulate. It's quarantined. And then let's say you do depopulate a farm that had CWD. Within 5 years, they can put deer back on that farm. And when you know about prions and how dangerous they are, we have real concerns about that.
So what do you think the next step is? I mean, what can we do about that?
Well, there's a current step ongoing, and I wish the timing were a little different that it were going to be completed. So we submitted a couple letters, and I was interviewed as part of it. So the legislative auditor is reviewing the Board of Animal Health's oversight of the captive cervid industry. And that's ongoing, and that unfortunately that report probably won't be out till late March or early April. And I say it's unfortunate in that legislative session has already started. So it's hard for legislators to, they won't have the guidance of whatever the auditor recommends. That said, I think there will be legislation introduced that gets at some of those issues, and we will be actively reviewing that, participating in it. So we'll see. Session started yesterday, actually. So I will be down there on Monday, and we'll be talking to legislators about what they have in mind.
Well, I'll be curious to find out the outcome of that. And, of course, the outcome of so many things, the vote. I'm curious to find out how your chapters of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association vote on this crossbow issue. Good luck with everything. Thanks for the time here. Craig Engwall, Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. I appreciate you being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Always a good time. I'd be happy to be back. Thanks, Brett.
Next, we'll talk to Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake. Also, Doug Lear and Joe Henry coming up.
Mark your calendar for the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Warner Coliseum, March 9th through the 11th. This year's Classic features top hunting celebrities like Lee and Tiffany Lukoski, Pat Nicole Reeve, and Melissa Bachman, plus free activities for the kids in the Wild Trails Kids Zone. Get your trophy scored for free, see more than 300 antler entries, and check out the latest hunting products, including an expanded lineup of lodges and outfitters. For complete details on the Deer and Turkey Classic, visit mndeerclassic.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. Now we're going to head back up to Devil's Lake in North Dakota, check in with Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Lucas, how have things been up there in Devil's Lake?
Hey, Brett. We've had some pretty consistent weather, cold. I think everybody's ready for a little warm-up here and kind of get the March bite going.
Sure, sure. You know, and I was in Missouri for the last week and a half or so, and despite catching a cold, that's been a pretty good one down there. It was nice to have a little bit warmer weather, but I'll tell you what, everybody thought we were going to go down there and sweat while we were down there the whole time, and we had one day where it was 75 degrees. Otherwise, it was in the 20s and 30s the whole time we were down there. And raining, so we didn't really get away from the cold weather, and came back here, and it was 10 degrees. So has it been pretty much pretty steady cold weather up here the last couple of weeks?
Oh yeah, we've been really cold actually. Same thing, you know, we've been about, in that 0 to -8, I guess. I guess for us guys up in North Dakota, that ain't too bad. But I think everybody's looking forward to the warmer temps that are coming, you know, 20, 25, something like that. And get this March bite going on this lake.
You know, people across the country think we're crazy when we talk about 20s and 25s being warm weather, Lucas.
Yeah, they do. And then when we get to 30 degrees and we're out in our T-shirts and right. We see people in flip-flops and shorts. And so I guess just a totally different mindset we must be in.
Well, and it's not bad if it's not windy. And it's never windy up there, right?
Yeah, no, it's never windy. I'd say it's never calm.
Sure, sure. Lucas Merton's our guest, Abel Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. But even when the things are a little bit slower, you guys are still catching fish up there.
Yeah, we are able to move around, kind of grind them out. It's been kind of a tough week, that's for sure. I'd say the toughest week of the winter so far. It just kind of seems like that late February, mid-February bite, you know, those fish aren't quite doing their spawn routine yet, and they're not really in their early ice, so they seem to be a little tougher to get. We're on a lot of fish, we're marking a lot of fish, just trying to get them to bite. But I think with this warmer weather here, it'll be a good bite here for the rest of the year.
Sure. And of course, so when you do get the colder weather, you're cruising around in those snow bears, so your fishermen are in flip-flops and t-shirts anyway.
Yeah, they are. Actually, we got a picture on the internet where there was a guy fishing in shorts the other day, so that was kind of comical.
Wow. All right. Well, with the end of February here, the March warm-up, the March bite heating up here in short time, how late will you guys fish?
Well, you know, we'll stay out there as long as we can. I would guess we'll probably be out there till the 20th of March, you know, just judging by the ice conditions and you know, the snow cover, you know, but that can change fast. I guess that can change in a week. It's nice to fish as long as we can. And typically that's when the bite is the best, is when you really can't get out there anymore. That's when the bite's really going.
That March bite is pretty special up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. A lot of those perch will move into shallow water, and you can get on a really good bite in that 12 to 16 foot range versus maybe the 38 to 45 feet. So it makes for a little bit heavier action, a little bit faster getting up and down through the ice. And that can be a real good time. Guy can get outside, punch a lot of holes, you know, really, really, you know, go after these fish, get a suntan.
Sure. Do you change tactics at all as far as lures or anything like that? Fish get a little bit more aggressive late winter?
Well, you could always upsize. You know, you could go to a little bit bigger buckshot or bigger tungstens. And, you know, when you're going to a bigger lure, a lot of times you'll eliminate some of those smaller fish that are going to bite your line. And maybe you're getting, you know, just a nicer class of fish to bite, you know, for the majority all day long.
All right. Well, Lucas, if people want to get in before winter's over and do some of that fishing on legendary Devil's Lake for perch up there out of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights, can they still get in yet this winter, or are you starting to look at summer trips?
No, we got some room towards after about the 10th of March. We have some room. A lot of guys just wait to book trips to see what the ice is doing, see what the bite's doing. But no, we can still accommodate people. They can call me direct. 701-351-3130. They can look at our Facebook page, or they can go to our website, haybaleheights.com.
Lucas Merton's Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
North Dakota's 2018 Spring Light Goose Conservation Order has been set. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. North Dakota's Spring Light Goose Conservation Order opened February 17th and continues through May 13th. Residents must have a valid current season or 2018-2019 combination license or a small game and general game and habitat license. The 2017-2018 license expires March 31st, and 2018-2019 licenses are valid starting April 1st. Non-residents need a 2018 Spring Light Goose Conservation Order license. The cost is $50 and is valid statewide. Non-residents who hunt in the spring remain eligible to buy a fall season license. The spring license does not count against the 14-day fall waterfowl hunting season regulation. In addition, non-resident youth under age 16 can purchase a license at the resident fee if their state has youth reciprocity licensing with North Dakota. A federal duck stamp is not required for either residents or non-residents. Resident and non-resident licenses are available online at the Game and Fish website, gf.nd.gov, by calling 800-406-6409 and at licensed vendors. Hunters must register annually with the Harvest Information Program prior to hunting in each state. The HIP number can be obtained online or by calling 888-634-4798. The HIP number obtained by North Dakota's Spring Conservation Order is also valid for North Dakota's fall hunting season. The Spring Conservation Order is only open to light geese, snows, blues, and Rosses. Species identification is important because white-fronted and Canada geese travel with light geese. The conservation order is closed to white fronts, Canada geese, swans, and all other migratory birds. For more information on regulations, refer to the 2018 Spring Light Goose Hunting Regulations and the 2017 North Dakota Waterfowl Hunting Guide. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
All right, Joe Henry will join us to talk about Lake of the Woods fishing and late ice fishing and just how the regulations are going to change now as the rest of the state gets ready to close up on some of these species. Lake of the Woods as a border water will stay open. We'll let you know what the regulations are for Lake of the Woods coming up here in just a second. Don't forget the new episode of Prairie Sportsman is coming up this Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer Public Television. If you're watching on some of the other TV stations around the state, you'll need to check your guide and check your listings to find out when you get to watch the latest episode of Prairie Sportsman. This week, we're visiting the Sac Zim Bog in northeastern Minnesota. It's about an hour's drive from Duluth. I've been hearing about it for a long time. It's a place I've wanted to visit for a long time, and we finally got to go up there to see the owls up there. And I am really proud of this episode. It's really cool. Some really cool slow motion footage of owls flying through the bog up there. A lot of it courtesy of Sparky Stensas, who is kind of the main man up there with Friends of the Sac Zim Bog. So we get to talk to Sparky. We give you a tour of the bog, and one of the coolest parts of the Sac Zim Bog that you get to see this week is their population of sharp-tailed grouse. I didn't realize they had so many sharpies up there in the bog. You know, Minnesota isn't necessarily known for sharp-tailed grouse. There's populations in the Northwest. There's some in East Central Minnesota. I didn't realize that we had sharpies up in the Northeast. You think more of spruce grouse or, of course, rough grouse being up there in northern Minnesota. But we've got a population of sharpies up in the Sac Zim Bog. And what's even cooler about them is on cold nights, they'll burrow into the snowdrifts in the road ditches along the side of the roads. So these sharpies will burrow in to these drifts, spend the night, and then in the morning, they'll wake up and they'll kind of shimmy their way up through the snowdrift and pop their heads out, look around, make sure there's no danger, and then they'll kind of shake the snow off, and they'll get up and sit up on top of that snowdrift, and then we watched them fly out to a lek and start chasing each other around and start sparring out there. So it was a really cool experience. You get to see all of that this Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer Public Television. Plus, we visit the Charles Hansen Museum. He's got a waterfowl taxidermy museum in Ortonville, Minnesota. And if you hadn't heard about it, like I hadn't heard about it prior to a couple of years ago, it's a really cool museum in western Minnesota, and we'll visit it and show it to you this week on Prairie Sportsman. So search your guide for Prairie Sportsman or find us online at prairiesportsman.org. You can watch the episodes online.
Mark your calendar for the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Warner Coliseum, March 9th through the 11th. This year's classic features top hunting celebrities like Lee and Tiffany Lukoski, Pat Nicole Reeve, and Melissa Bachman, plus free activities for the kids in the Wild Trails Kids Zone. Get your trophy scored for free, see more than 300 antler entries, and check out the latest hunting products, including an expanded lineup of lodges and outfitters. For complete details on the Deer and Turkey Classic, visit mndeerclassic.com.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Waterfowl Hunters. If you haven't experienced the heart-pounding excitement of the spring snow goose season,
you haven't seen the most thrilling waterfall action possible.
Take that plug out of your gun and chase snows with Mid-Migration Outfitters.
Plus, you'll get to see the spring waterfall migration up close and personal.
Hunts take place from mid-February through April. Now is the time to reserve your time in the blind.
Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more.
That's MidMigrationOutfitters.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, and subscribable and podcastable in iTunes. All right, we've been talking about hunting a lot, of course, a little bit of fishing so far on the show, and let's get back to ice fishing right now because there's still a lot of time to do some ice fishing yet this year, even if some of the species are starting to close around the state. We're going to talk about an area, though, where fishing stays open for species like walleye. With Joe Henry right now from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how are things?
Hey, Brett. Oh, things are awesome, man. I'll tell you what, I was out last night and shoot, it was light till like 6 o'clock. The sun's feeling different. Things are changing.
It is. Spring is almost here. It's not that far away. But for guys that like to do some ice fishing, this late ice fishing, you get into March, things can really get good.
You're darn right. Guys and gals like ice fishing. I tell you what, Lake of the Woods could be a nice opportunity for you. You know, it's funny because in the rest of Minnesota, as you know, in most of Minnesota, you know, everything kind of closes up at the end of February for big fish and for keeping fish houses out in the ice. But, you know, Lake of the Woods, because we're border water with Canada, you know, we get longer seasons. So our fish houses can be left out overnight on the ice through March 31st. And I'll tell you what, this year it's looking real good that we're going to make all of March simply because we got over 3 feet of ice and we got a good snowpack. On top of that, you know, walleye season is open through April 14th. And pike season never closes. And, of course, perch and crappies, you know, they're wide open as well. So there's a ton of opportunities yet. And I'll tell you, with the longer days and the angle of the sun, those fish know that that spawn's coming. So consequently, they put on that feed bait. And I'll tell you what, March can be a tremendous month to ice fish on Lake of the Woods.
So how does that work then? Walleye good through April 14th. Do they close down? Does the limits change? How does that work?
You know, it's interesting. So people sometimes hear about the spring fishing on the Rainy River.
Right.
So when you do the spring fishing from a boat on the Rainy River, the limits are different in Four Mile Bay and the Rainy River that time of the year, you know, starting in March and in April. The limit there is you can keep two fish under 19 and a half inches, nothing else, no big fish or anything. But, you know, the thing of it is when people go to the Rainy River to fish, they're not really going for food, you know, you know, walleyes and saugers for the freezer. Most people are going to catch those 10, 11, 12 pound giants, maybe catch 100 fish in a day if they hit her. So that's the limit there. And of course, you know, right now in the lake, our winter limit is, you know, 8 fish. So you can keep a combined limit of, you know, 8 fish through the ice. Up to 4 of those can be walleyes. The rest can be saugers. And of course, our slot limit on Lake of the Woods for walleyes is, you know, 19 and a half to 28 inches you must throw back. And you are allowed to keep, you know, one fish over 28 inches per day, one walleye over 28 inches per day. So what we do is we encourage people to keep the eaters below 19 and a half. The breeding stock we put back in to do their deal, to lay their eggs and to breed, that's going to be the 19 and a half to 28 inches. And if you happen to get a trophy and if you want to keep it, you know, you're allowed to keep one trophy per day. And of course, with the state of Minnesota, that's also a limit is a possession limit too. So you have to make sure that, you know, you eat your fish before you go and catch another limit tomorrow type of thing.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods, Rainy River, northern Minnesota area, border waters up there, and how some of the regulations are different from the rest of the state as we get to the end of February here and the calendar starts to turn for outdoorsmen in the state of Minnesota. How's fishing been up there lately, Joe?
Fishing, well, you know, fishing's good. And that's, I always put an asterisk by that because they'll talk to some guys and say, man, we struggled today. You know, we got 10 fish or something. And then And you talk to another group who caught 25. So those fish are moving around. The walleyes seem to be hanging a little bit more shallow than the saugers, which is kind of traditional. But people are fishing anywhere from traditionally 25 to 32 feet of water right now. And, there's a morning evening bite going on in some of the shallower water, the 15 to 18 feet of water. Anglers are going out and setting up in the morning and the evening and catching walleyes that are going in for that morning feed and that evening feed, that low light deal. And then, of course, up at the northwest angle, they're fishing structure. And again, 25 to about 30 feet of water has been the norm for walleyes. And they also have some really good, morning evening bites going up there in shallower water. So it's been good. And I'll tell you, the other thing that's kind of cool too, Brett, is that, up at the northwest angle, some of those resorts up there will guide you into Ontario to actually catch crappies, big crappies. And, those big crappies are getting right now. Holy man, they got some hard-sided houses set over in Ontario, and they're getting them anywhere from, 12 to, 16, 7, in some cases, 17-inch crappies. You have a chance at just a behemoth black crappie. They're huge. It's pretty cool.
It's been a cold winter, it seems like, Joe, despite the fact that everybody talks about how warm it's getting, but it seems like it's been a really cold winter. And I know it seems like I'm always hearing stories about auger extensions on Lake of the Woods. Are you getting some really thick ice up there?
Oh, we are, yeah. Anywhere from, 36 to, I've heard as much as, 43 to 46 inches of ice in some areas, but you definitely need an extension. In rare cases, you might need two extensions. But and here's the other thing too, is that when you're drilling through thick ice, people need to remember, when you drill down, 6 inches to a foot, wind that auger up, rev it up and pull those ice chips out of there and clear that hole out. If you keep all those ice chips in and never pull them out, by the time you hit water, that's where people get their augers stuck. It gets stuck in there because that water gets up through the ice chips, almost turns into cement. So make sure that as you're punching a deep hole, clear those ice chips out and go down and drill some more and then clean them out again until you hit water. And that's going to make your life a lot easier. But I'll tell you, but Lake of the Woods, the way we look at things, we can't change anyway. It's a climate. We have nothing to do with it. But we like the cold because it allows us to ice fish through March. I mean, it gives us that good thick ice, that big thick ice cube is hard to melt. In fact, there's sometimes we have ice going into April, even into early May sometimes. And the other thing we kind of hope for this time of year is snow. And we just got a nice little few inches of snow. But, what snow does is it protects that good sun now. That sun is getting stronger and stronger. It protects the ice from the rays of the sun. And, if we can get an extra week out of the ice because of the snow melting and deflecting the sun rays from the ice, that's key. So we're excited. And tell you right now, the pike are starting to go in the shallows. I mean, it's game on at Lake of the Woods.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Lake of the Woods. And you talk about ice into May. I know we've joked about it in the past, guys, fishing open water and ice fishing on the walleye opener.
Oh, it happens. Yeah, it has happened. Absolutely, it has. In fact, I know some locals up there that a few years back, we had ice into May, and they actually took snowmobiles across the lake in May just to say they did it.
Jeez.
And and there was, I wouldn't advise that, but these guys are obviously very skilled and they always wanted to do it. And they knew what kind of ice was out there because they've been checking it. So it's, you never know at Lake of the Woods, but we're ways north there, and we get ice earlier. We get colder weather, and we get colder weather longer. So consequently, that ice cube stays pretty good.
When you start talking about 4 feet of ice, Joe, and when you get later into winter like this and the tip-up fishing for pike up there really, really kicks into high gear on Lake of the Woods, you might be in some pretty shallow water, and you might be drilling through quite a bit of ice to get there to set those tip-ups, huh?
That's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. You betcha. You have as much ice as I wouldn't say as much ice as you do water, but I mean, we do angle for those pike in the pretty shallow water sometimes, and I'll tell you a few pointers for people. There's a lot of spots to go ice fishing for pike, but right now those pike are starting to, because of the angle of the sun and the length of days, they're starting to get into the pre-spawn areas. Now pike don't school, but they do get congregated together because they're adjacent to the spawning areas that are popular. And that's why anglers, the tip-up fish this time of year, combination of those pike being in congregated in certain areas, as well as having a feed bait on because of the upcoming spawn. And, you know, Brett, Lake of the Woods is known for a trophy, as a trophy pike lake. I mean, we have numerous pike that are 40 to 45 inches and over, and that's traditionally a 20-plus pound pike. That's a big pike. So we encourage people to catch a big pike and have all your needle nose ready, your jaw spreaders ready to go, have everything ready to go, including your camera. You know, get that pike out, get a couple nice pictures, get that thing unhooked, and then get that thing back in the water so it can keep on making more big pike.
Now, suckers, usually what people are using when they do that, are those readily available up there?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a combination of bait. So some people use live suckers. Other people use, you can buy from the bait stores, and you have to buy your bait from a bait store because of that, I think it's called VHS. Yep. And but you have to buy it from a licensed bait dealer so that the bait's tested. You can't just go to, you know, a seafood market and buy your smelt or your tulabies or Cisco's anymore. But buy your bait, and then some people use live suckers on a quick strike rig, which, of course, is a rig that with a leader that wires out to two different trebles, tulabies, the smelt, the suckers, they all work. In fact, I would just read an article recently where some anglers are starting to use hot dogs for
hot
pike.
Dogs. Yeah. Oh, we've done that before. Yeah.
And my understanding is the cheaper, greasier, the better.
Fun dogs. You got
fun dogs. I was going to say somebody mentioned GVD is great value dogs from Walmart, but you know, I don't want to insult anybody, but you know, the point of it is that, they're stinky. They got the same shape as a minnow. And you know, there's a lot of times where for those pike, it is sometimes they want a live minnow. Sometimes they want dead bait. Sometimes they want it, you know, hanging 2-3 feet off the bottom. Sometimes they want it right below the ice. There's other times where anglers will lay their dead bait right in the mud or on the sand, and they'll lay it right in there because those pike are used to coming down and grabbing them all full of mud when they're grabbing maybe a hibernating frog or whatever the case might be. I was talking to Steve Panaz of Lake Commandos TV, and Steve was telling me how he was on 4 Mile Bay of Lake of the Woods a couple of years ago, and you had to have a hole cover over your hole with your tip up in order to really catch those pike. They were sensitive to the light, even in that stained water, which kind of blew me away. But so there are a lot of nuances to it.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, Joe, if people want to get up there for tip-up fishing at this winter or late ice fishing or even making plans for the rainy, where can they find out more information about Lake of the Woods?
Absolutely. You know, we have everything you need at our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right. Also, my thanks to Doug Lear and Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, and, of course, Craig Engwall. Thank you for listening. Make sure you take some time to spend some time in the outdoors this week.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.